the new revolution in radio.
CyberStationUSA.com.
Americans are united in sending one message.
Goodwill to the people of this land.
I will do my best to represent my nation.
We have an election now. Really looks good.
This is the evolution of radio.
We are more integrated now than at any other point in the history of the human race.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
This is Shirley Crabb, inviting you to join me in the Jazz Room with host Joan Watson-Jones, Wednesdays at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time on the CyberStationUSA.com radio network.
It was too. I didn't know what day it was. You held my hand, warm like the month of May it was, and I'll say it was grand, grand to be alive, to be young, to be mad, to be yours alone, grand to see. Hear your voice, say I'm yours alone. I didn't know what year it was. Life was no prize. I wanted love, and here it was, shining out of your eyes. I'm wise, and I know what time it is.
Hello, welcome to the Jazz Room. I'm your host, Joan Watson-Jones. Thanks for stopping by. Come in, relax while we enjoy great jazz. Each week we present the music of independent jazz artists, as well as those we've grown to love through the years. And yes, of course, the legends. We open with our guest, singer-songwriter Shirley Crabb, here to talk about her CD, Bridges. You're listening right now to I Didn't Know What Time It Is. Enjoy.
Out of your eyes, I'm wise, and I know what time it is.
Welcome to the Jazz Room, Shirley Crabb. Oh, I love that tune.
Thank you. Thank you. It's so nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. Now, congratulations on this CD. Having listened to it, I really enjoyed it. And let's talk about the award you just got recently.
Yes, yes.
Tell us about your award.
Okay, well, I was absolutely pleasantly surprised to find out this year, just actually about maybe 5 weeks ago, that I had won a New York Bistro Award. And the Bistro Award is awarded to jazz musicians and cabaret artists and theater people in New York City. It's based on an award. It's actually based on an award that's comes from Backstage Magazine, some of the publishers, and one of the gentlemen that used to write an article there for years. And so they created this award. It's been going on for almost, I think it's 34 years. It's the 34th annual. So it was really exciting. They just had the show last week, and it was just a big celebration of music, and people performed. It was great.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Now, how long have you been in the business?
Well, all right. Are we going all the way back to like when I was a kid? I mean, I would say I was in the business, really in the business, in the last 10 years.
Okay.
But I went to school and studied classical music. I was going to be an opera singer. Went and did undergraduate, and I did my graduate work. And while I was an undergraduate, I kind of dabbled in, you know, trying to figure out maybe I might like to sing jazz for fun. And then when I got to graduate school, I started going hanging out down in the village and got experience to jazz. And then after that, I stopped singing for a while. And so about 10 years ago, I really kind of decided this is what I really wanted to do. And then that's when I put together my first album.
Okay. Okay. So I'm just trying to get a picture of you, you know, your journey, in
yes.
other words. We all have a journey that gets us where we are right now, and you've had an interesting one. And sometimes if we talk about, let's talk about that middle 10, the years where you didn't sing.
Okay.
Because that to me sounds like it's formative.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was formative. So right after graduate school, I injured my vocal cords. Too much singing. I call it my young and stupid period of my life, where you just think you can do everything. And I was teaching elementary school music. I was going to graduate school, and I had a concert. I was finishing up graduate school. It was like my last semester. I had a concert that I had been invited to sing on. And then my church was doing their anniversary concert, and it was 200 voice gospel choir. And of course, I had to be the loudest one. So there you go. Stupid and silly, you know, and I went to my voice lesson and sounded horrible. And my teacher said, there's something wrong with you.
Oh, dear.
Something wrong. And so I went to the doctor and found out that I had actually hemorrhaged my vocal cord. And then after that, it went on for, you know, it healed, it didn't heal, it didn't heal, it healed. Then I developed some more issues. I got acid reflux, which made everything dry. And it just became really like difficult to have the sound that I wanted. And so I said, well, I'll continue to teach. And that, I think it's when you lose your dream, so to speak, and the thing that you love to do, you really start figuring out, who am I? You know, am I? Like, am I a singer with this voice? I was always,
I know,
that was always the thing.
Yeah.
And so prayed to be happy with what my circumstances were.
I know. Now, who were some of your earliest influences?
Oh, my goodness. I love Ella, of course. Ella Fitzgerald, who I think people are forgetting how, you know, we're getting to the stage where people are just kind of forgetting how wonderful she is. I hear people talk about her as a pop singer and not as this great icon of jazz. So I love Ella. I love, absolutely love Carmen McRae. I love Abby Lincoln. Those are my three people that I used to just sit and listen to, you know, the recordings
for
hours.
We all singers, all of us have people that we listen to.
Yes.
Who are our, you know, you put the record on and it's your master class.
Yes, exactly.
That's the kind of thing.
Exactly.
Okay, so Let's see. I saw you had some mentors. Who were they?
Okay, yeah. So when I was going after graduate school, while I was in graduate school and I was singing classical music uptown and going down to the village to sing jazz, I took this wonderful workshop with Kobe Narita, who's like famous in New York. All the singers know her. Mm-hmm. And it was that time when I met Harold Mayburn, who was my first pianist that I ever worked with, jazz pianist.
Awesome.
I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. And then in the teachers in the class were Etta Jones, Dakota Staten, Tina Fabrique, and the bass player who taught us how to write our charts was Jameel Nasser, who's now long gone, but he was a wonderful, wonderful bassist from many, many years ago. And so they all kind of, you know, told me, okay, Shirley, this is how you do it.
Hey, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great, because Dakota is one of my favorites,
yes,
mainly because she used to live in the house next door to Studio 952 here in New York City.
Nice.
When I was a little girl and I knew her.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to play another cut from your CD, and it's called The Bridge, and you've written this song?
I co-wrote it with my pianist, Donald Vega, yes.
Okay, let's listen first, and then I want to know more about the song.
Great.
In a bit.
One girl, sweet and kind, she looked to the sky and prayed for music, laughter, joy, and love. One boy, heart afire, he answered her call and brought from wrong. They refuse to see that true love builds a bridge where our journeys end and lovers meet to do their dance again. Build a bridge
You're in the Jazz Room. I'm your host, Joan Watson Jones. We continue with our interview with singer-songwriter Shirley Crabb. Well, Shirley, I like that song, Bridges. Can you give us a little insight into your thoughts when you were creating this song?
Sure. Well, we were, trying to... Well, Donald, who's my dear, dear, dear friend, he looks at me and says, you need a song on the album. I'm going to write some music for you. And I was like, okay. And I said I would write the words. Now, I have not really written a lot of lyrics before, so it was something that I was like, I have to learn this really quickly. So I really got down and started getting into some of my favorite writers, Paul Simon, Billy Joel, some other writers that just are great storytellers. And I wanted to try to bring the whole concept of the album, which was the idea of that we connecting and the way we don't connect, and we want to have close relationships with people, but there are things that kind of keep us apart. I wanted to try to get that message out in one song. So that was the impetus. And then I wanted to tell a story, because my favorite songs are songs that tell stories that kind of lead you, have a beginning, middle, and end. And so that kind of was what I was thinking. And it was the absolute hardest thing I've ever done in my life.
I understand. I understand completely.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, give me some names on the... of your musicians,
sure.
And their, their instruments. And
okay, so we have Donald Vega on piano. And we also have David Budway on piano. And David also did the string arrangements on the first song and the last, I believe, second to last cut. And then on bass is Clovis Nicholas. And drums, we have two drummers, Ulysses Owens Jr. and Alvesta Garnett. And then we have a nice string quartet. And the string quartet is Todd Lowe, Christian Cardona, Sean Carney, and Stephanie Cummins. And how could I forget my favorite trumpet player in the whole wide world, Brandon Lee, who just is not only a wonderful individual. He just, whenever he plays, my heart melts. I just love him.
Now, have you traveled a lot
I've gotten a chance to travel a little bit. I'd love to travel some more. Mm-hmm. My favorite place was I actually went out to my family home area, which is in the West Indies, and got to perform at the college in Tortola, British Virgin Islands. And that was kind of cool because I met some cousins, some crabs that we didn't know existed. And then the whole weekend became reuniting with my father's first cousins. And we didn't know each other. And so they came out because they heard that I was a crab, and we're the only crab in town. So it was kind of fun. Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now, I saw that you had opened for Abby Lincoln. So after all these years with her albums and master classes, as you listened to her in her albums, how did that feel?
Well, that was years ago when I opened for her. It was like one of my first, that was as a result of working with Colby. She brought Abby down to do a concert and they said, you're going to open for her. So I got to share a dressing room with her. And I actually got to, on my first album, I recorded Strong Man because that was one of my favorite songs from her very first album. And I was nervy enough to ask her if she would give me a copy of it so I could sing. I'm like, can I get a copy of your lead sheet? And she kind of looked at me like, oh, you're new. Can you know, one of those things? You're young. And I was just like, okay, all right. And I didn't understand. And then later on, I had a friend transcribe it and we, you know, worked it out, our own arrangement of it. But she was really neat. Very, I didn't know her personally, but very quiet, very focused right before she went on, and she did an amazing show. It was great. Such an honor.
So you had a master class in person.
Exactly.
Watching her, because when you're around the people who have been out there doing it and they are the greats and they're a legend.
Yes.
A lot of that, just you soak it in.
Yes, you do.
you soak it in and you begin to understand what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
And why?
I feel like every time I get, I have so been so blessed to be able to perform with such great musicians like Donald and David, who have years and years. I feel like every time I'm on stage, it's a masterclass. They are so generous in giving me advice and me learning from them that it's just really wonderful.
That kind of experience is golden.
Yes.
For every musician to be with other musicians who are willing to take you aside and say, hey, wait a minute.
Yes.
Let's try it this way.
Yeah.
So what are you looking forward to in the next few months?
Well, I'm looking forward to, because I recently made some life changes so that I'm more available to be able to perform much more. So I'm looking forward to being able to travel across the states. I'm going to be out in Pennsylvania next month at the Berks Jazz Festival, singing with Bobby Lyle and two other really wonderful singers, Tony Lynn and Annette Hines. And we're doing like a little special Bobby Lyle and the Ladies of Song. So I'm excited to do that. And I'm hoping to be able to bring my music out to some other areas as well. So that's what I'm looking forward to, just more singing more and more.
Okay. Now, another question for you. I know you said that songwriting was the hardest thing you did.
Yes.
Have you started thinking about whether you could write some more?
I definitely want to do some more. And I enjoy writing. Writing in general was a hard thing for me because after you get out of high school, you don't write really anything. And then all of a sudden I started writing, you know, papers and shows. I do an Ethel Waters show that I had to write. And then I started trying to write songs. And so I feel like I love it. I'm enjoying it. So it's hard because you're pulling stuff and you want to really get the message across, but I'm looking forward to doing more of that. Yes.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
It is. Songwriting is a challenge and a joy.
Yes.
And as a gentleman said to me yesterday, a legend, he said to me, you work on the song. And you work on the song, and it's like your child.
Yes.
And sometimes you don't need, you couldn't, can't even put a name on it until after you've got it all done.
Yes.
Excuse me. Okay. So, tell me about Windmills of My Mind.
Okay, Windmills. What a great, well, again, you know, trying to stay with the idea of the connecting. And Windmills was my mind is going crazy song, you know. What's going on? And so I had been ready, started to perform it live. And so we were like, well, we need to put this something fun and something up and something really kind of crazy on the recording. And so we found Michel Legrand's wonderful Windmills of Your Mind, which is neat because I think that most people just have sung it as a ballad and we wanted to, you know, make it feel crazy. And so when we do it live, it gets really crazy. It's probably as twice as fast as what the
now,
recording is.
Now, where were you when it was recorded live?
We actually recorded it in the studio. We didn't record it live, but we were doing it, you know, live out in a concert.
Okay, now, down to business.
Sure.
How do people find your music and learn more about you?
Great. So they can go to my website, www.shirleycrabbe.com, or you can find me on Facebook. I'm Shirley Crabb, comma, jazz vocalist. It'd be great if you tracked me on Bands in Town and you would go Shirley Crabb, comma, jazz vocalist. And then you can get right onto your phone where I'm playing next and what my next concert is. And it'll just kind of send you a little quick text. And then, of course, you know, I'm on Twitter and all of those things, Instagram.
Oh, yeah. Good old
S. Crab Jazz. And I'm finding that YouTube, people follow you on YouTube, so you can follow me there, too. And that's S. Crab Jazz.
S. Crab Jazz,
yes.
On YouTube. That's a lot to take down. This social media has really done a job on us, hasn't it?
Oh, my
it?
Goodness, yes.
But we've got to do what we've got to do, don't we? Well, Shirley, thank you so much for coming and visiting the Jazz Room here in Studio 952 in New York, New York.
Thank you so much for having me. I really, really appreciate it.
Finally, the windmills of my mind from Shirley CD, Bridges.
All beginning on an ever-spinning wheel, like a snowball down a mountain or a carnival balloon, like a carousel that's turning, running rings around the moon, like a clock whose hands are sweeping past the minutes of its face, and the world is like an apple whirling silently in space, like the circles that you find in the windmills of your mind, like a tunnel that you follow to a tunnel of its own, down a hollow to a cavern where the sun has never shone, like a door that keeps revolving on a half-forgotten dream, or the ripples of a pebble someone tosses in a stream, like a clock whose hands are sweeping past the minutes of its face, and the world is like an apple whirling silently in space, like the circles that you find in the windmills of your mind. Keys that jingle in your pockets, words that jangle in your head. Why did summer go so quickly? Was it something that you said? Lovers walk along a shore and leave their footprints in the sand. Is the sound of distant drumming just the fingers of your hand? Pictures hanging in a hallway and the fragment of a dream. Half-remembered names and faces, but to whom do they belong? When you knew that it was over.
We've come to the end of another show. Thank you for spending time here with us in the Jazz Room. We love hearing from you. You can now find the Jazz Room on Twitter at Ms. Jazz Kitty, or you may email me or chat with me through the Jazz Room page of my website, JoanWatsonJones.com. Until next time, you've been in the Jazz Room. I'm your host, Joan Watson Jones.
The opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
Cyberstation USA.
Cyberstation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcasters' pages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. Cyberstation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide. Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.